If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at the book of Hebrews with me this morning. I want to preach a message to you, pretty simple, looking unto Jesus. I know that I've been talking a little bit more about looking to Him in my casual talk with you, and I think it's something that we all need to kind of make a habit of, is always looking to Jesus. I talked last week and preached the message, but we see Jesus, and but the world system might see versus what I see, or versus what you see, and we look, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to preach a message to you looking unto Jesus this morning. And verse number 2 seems to be my focus, but it's wrapped in some really wonderful verses and some wonderful thoughts. But the verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a lot in that verse, but I think it's interesting as we look at our society today, and I really believe that for the Christian, it's required that we need to walk diligently with the Lord. But we see Jesus, the second chapter of Hebrews, tells us many things concerning the Lord, but it's telling us in there that we need to be careful that we do not abuse the salvation that God has given to us, that we would actually be earnest in our understanding of the salvation God has given to us and be diligent with our walk with the Lord. And I want you to know that I have no desire this morning other than to encourage you and to build up, edify you in your faith, so you're stronger and so God can help you to be the person that you need to be. But our faith will be tested in many different ways. There's diverse temptations. And so there's different trials. There's the emotional things we go through. There's the physical things and the spiritual battles that we go through. And this is all part of the understanding that we need to have our faith strong during those times. And these difficult times really of testing will put a strain on our allegiance to God if we're not careful. And how loyal are you to God? I think sometimes Satan would like for you to be disloyal to him and to his will and to his desire. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we would get off track really through being for not having our allegiance to the work of the Lord and to the will of God concerning our own lives personally. You see, God has given you his will. We took time, of course, last week to observe the salvation. And I think now we're going to talk about sanctification, or the area of working for him. And I want to admonish you to earnestly think about these things nowadays. We are living in a day and age where there needs to be a diligence in the scriptures. In fact, this came to Jude in his writings when he wrote, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so the faith, if you were to look at this, is talking about the whole Word of God. It's talking about the will of God for your life and the will of God for my life. And I think it's important for us to kind of just think about three things out of this passage that will help us today to be able to be stronger as a Christian. And how many of you do desire to be a strong Christian? Raise your hand. Yeah, you know, there's no doubt in my mind. And who gave you that desire and that will, of course, is from the Lord. And he's equipped us and given us what we have, an area of our intellect and our ability to absorb things and to learn. And then to be able to see by others how God wants us to live and how we should respond to difficult times. And so when we're looking at this passage, we're talking about trials and difficulties, but we're also talking about a race. If you look at verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us then run with patience the race that God has set before us." Do you know what? God has a plan for you, and he set something out for you to, you know, Paul was saying that I would be faithful all the way to the end, that I would actually accomplish the will of God for my life. He's given you a race to run. He's given you some place to go. And so the first point I want to bring out to you is the Christian life is compared to a race, which it is. Now, I don't know if you like to race. You find little children like to do that. Little boys, when they grow up. Now, I don't know about little girls, but little boys, when they grow up, they always want to race. They want to race dad. Oh, my boys would say like, I'll race you, dad. Race you to the car. You know, I was like, yeah, you betcha, man. I could beat you. No problem. But, you know, sometimes you say, well, I'll let them win, you know. And so we'll race a little bit, you know. But now when they come along, sometimes they'll race you. I say, oh, are you crazy? I'm not running. I don't have to run. Back then I maybe had to, but now I don't. And so I don't race with them as much as I used to. But there is races that we run. And I think about when it comes to a race, the Bible's giving us direction here. One of the commentators said that the Christian life basically is represented as a runner competing for the prize. And the writer would arouse him to activity and perseverance by the example of those who have already triumphed and are now hearing silent, eloquent testimony to the power of faith. And the comparison of the Christian life is a race, and that it is appropriate and also is suggestive, especially in this passage. And so when we're talking about this compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we turn the page back one and we see actually people who have already run the race that was before them, that was set before them. And we look at this great hall of fame, if you would, of those that ran the race, that did what God required of them, that were able to move forward with it great endurance, with great perseverance, were able to obtain what God had desired for them. And I know that God obtains something for you. Young man, listen to me. I'm talking to you. There's a desire for you to know that God has a plan for you specifically. And are you going to run the race or are you going to just trot through life? Are you just going to drift through life and think, well, this has befallen me and this is the way I'm going to go? And it's really, really taking a casual look at what God has for you, young lady. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He has a desire for you. And can you take that lightly? I don't think we should. In fact, I went back to Richard Baxter, one of the Puritans, and listened to what he wrote concerning this. He wrote, it is most lamentable. It is the most lamentable thing to see how most people spend their time and their energy for trifles while God is cast aside. He who is all seems to them as nothing. And that which is nothing seems to them as good as all. It's lamentable, indeed, knowing that God has set mankind in such a race where heaven or hell is their certain end. And they should sit down and loiter or run after childish toys or the world, forgetting the prize they should run for. Were it but possible for one of us to see this business and to see it as the all-seeing God sees it and see what most men and women in the world are interested in and what they are doing every day, it would be the saddest sight imaginable. Oh, how we should marvel at their madness and lament their self-delusion. If God had never told them that they were sent into the world to do or what was before them in another world, then there would have been some excuse. But is his sealed word, and they profess to believe it. And so God has placed before us, I really believe, a race. He has set before us something that he has and desires for you to do. And I don't know about you, but I find myself at this time in my life, at 58 years old, to say, I know what God has given for me to do. I am confident in it. And it brings me great peace to know that God has actually set the sails for my life and has opened up doors and has closed doors. And that ought to encourage you. But when it comes to the seriousness of this race today, I want you to think about three things concerning the race. Number one is we must run this race by faith. We must step out by faith. The Bible says, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, just one chapter back, or one page back. It says here in verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it must be by faith. I must come to you and ask you the question, where is your faith concerning God's plan for your life? If you are going to run the race, you must run it by faith. It's not run by strategic plan. You must set out and say, Lord, I am running and I am walking by faith. And what is the object of that faith? We must go back and understand that the object, of course, is something that we cannot see. But He is there. He is God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I know that Jesus Christ lives. I know that He sits at the right hand of the Father. I know that. And so I must prepare by faith to be able to do this and be able to run the race like God wants me to run it. Now, I don't know about you, but running the race requires some preparation. It requires exercise, doesn't it? When I was in the Marine Corps, we had to run quite a bit. And so we always run the 3 miles together. This was after boot camp. I was in the battalion, and now I was out in the Fleet Marine Force. And we still had to stay in shape. We still had to keep in condition. And so we knew a run was coming up. We had to condition ourselves. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I think about Aaron, and you run during the week, Aaron. And I see your times, and you're doing pretty good. And a lot better than I could ever do. And but I remember being in the Marines and running and keeping my object before me, keeping the object before me for the fleet, for Marine Corps. The force was actually a telephone pole with a white line around it. And the closer I got to it, I was excited that I could see it with my eyes. And it was my object. You know, when I get there, I can turn around and go around it and head back. It was only a 3 mile run. And so it'd be a mile and a half to the telephone pole, and I get it in my eyes, Brother Tom, and I think, there it is. Oh, there it is. Oh, well, precious telephone pole. I can't wait to see it and get closer to it. And I got to it and finally I'd get around it. Oh, I get it. I start to look behind me. It's behind me now. I'm going. But it's interesting as you run, because there has to be that object. And I hope that you understand that the Christian life has an object, and the object is Jesus. We want to be more like Him. And the Bible actually gives us a little more instruction here. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, when we're talking about weights, you think about a runner and having weights, he would actually be somebody who would put ankle weights on or wrist weights on, and they would run with that. And to take that off so you could run faster. But when we're preparing for a race or preparing for a fight, there's some things that we do. How many have ever seen somebody fight somebody and they take their coat off real quick? Like, I just threw my jacket off. You ever see someone say, okay, come on. And it always keeps up. And like, come on. You ever see someone, are you guys here? Hello? You know, I was wondering about this amen thing too, you know. You can say amen once in a while. It's not going to hurt you. In fact, it would help you in your indigestion, I think. Some of you got Rolaids in your pocket. You don't have to have those if you say amen once in a while. But if you hold it down, it's going to hurt you. Let it come up. Say amen. Okay? Let it go. But it's interesting, if you think about somebody fighting and preparing for a fight, we prepare for a race, we prepare for a fight. But if somebody really wants to fight, they take off the weights. They take off. In fact, there was actually a reference to in some of the commentaries on how they would take off the robes, you know, and they would run the race and they would take off anything that would weight them down because they wanted to be as fast as they could. Did you know in the Christian life there are weights? You know, I know that Jesus Christ forgave us. I know He threw our sins as far as the east is from the west. But did you know that you got to do something too? There are certain times in your life where you have weights in your life. And the only way that you can truly walk with God is to set those weights aside. Now, there are sins and there are weights. Look at the verse again. Verse number 1. He says, take the weights and the sin. One of the commentaries said this about the weights, which I thought was brilliant. He said, the word denotes whatever would put one to the disadvantage in running, whether it be in itself innocent or not. Of course, every evil passion is weight, which can only clog the believer's heavenward progress. But when that which is in itself lawful may become, if we abuse it, a heavy load. We may pervert a good gift of God into a dead weight. And some habit, which is no hindrance at all to my Christian brother, may have proved to be a great spiritual cumbrance to me. There is the weight of prosperity, the weight of care, the weight of sorrow, the weight of worldly business, the weight of earthly ambition, the weight of human affection. These things which are seen must not be allowed to lie heavy on the soul if the Christian would be successful in the Christian race. What weighs you down? It might be something good. But God is desiring for us to lay those weights aside and to set our affection upon Him. It's interesting when we think about it because it also mentions sin in the passage. And there is, this is an essential burden, by the way. And it is a burden all of us carry. And it easily besets us. It cleaves to us. It wraps itself around us like a cloak. It clings to us at times. It is sin in general, which the apostle characterizes as easily besetting. The adjective in the original does not give us that particular sin and understand it even if we read it over and over. But it shows us that there is a sin that can easily beset us, and it may be a personal habit that you have in your life that needs to be removed. And so the sin and all others must be laid aside. If we do not renounce sin, we really give up the race to somebody else. It's interesting as we think about this, because we're talking about running this race, we're talking about laying things aside, and we must do that by faith. You see, we think that the missionary is something special, that they're in the foreign mission field being successful this morning because of their faith, and they are. But God wants you to be successful right here where you live, in your workplace, to be strong in the Lord, and to walk in tomorrow morning and punch in, or however you do it, to be able to show the people that God has given you grace and God has given you power to be what you should be to a dying world. They need us to run this race by faith and set aside any weight that would set us aside. I know that we must also run the race with focus. Not only by faith run the race, but by focus. In fact, if you look at the verse here, wherefore seeing, doesn't that deal with our focus? He's talking about seeing. We also see this great cloud of witness that is compassed about us. I don't necessarily think he's talking about a cloud in heaven, although we can use that, and I would not argue with you if you believe that. But I think he's talking about all of those people before us, this great cloud of witnesses that are with the Lord already, that are now looking down from heaven. And I think it's important for us to know that that huge cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, is something we need to focus on. Oh, later on we'll talk about Jesus, the ultimate focus. But right here he's saying, seeing this, that there are those that have come before you. Focusing on the past perseverance of others gives us the ability to continue on. We think about the word for witness and these witnesses, these martyrs, if you would, for the Lord. These are testifying. These that have, we bear record of them, that they were faithful. And by faith, they were able to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. I think we got to focus on them. And not focus on the storm. Focus on the Lord. Because you're going to have storms in your life and difficulties in your life, but you got to get your eyes off of that. Our focus is absolutely important, that we see those that have already gone before us. In fact, someone wrote a poem. I want to read it to you. It says, Lord, make me deaf and dumb and blind to all those things which are behind. Deaf to the voice that memory brings, accusing me of many things. Dumb to the things my tongue could speak, reminding me when I am weak. Blind to the things I still might see when they come back to trouble me. Let me press on to thy high calling in Christ who keepeth me from falling. Forgetting all that lies behind, Lord, make me deaf and dumb and blind like Paul. I then shall win the race I would have lost but for thy grace. forgetting all that I have done. 'Twas thee, dear Lord, not I, who won. And it's important for us to put aside. Maybe there's some things in your life that you just can't get over. Can I encourage you just to lay it aside? Stop. Stop digging it up. Stop looking at it. Look unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of your faith. You know what that means? He is the very beginning and finisher of your faith. He began in you a work, and He's going to complete it. That's Jesus. And He will. He will if we understand. And giving us the encouragement here, the writer writes to us that we're supposed to look beyond the things of this world and look past and remember those that came before us. What if we were to trot him out here this morning? What if we brought big Moses out here with his beard and his gray hair and he was to stand here and say, you know how much I endured for the Lord? And I want to testify that God is true. And I was a voice for the God of heaven. We would trot out here Abraham and say, you know how long I sought for a land? God provided. He allowed my son to move on. And God has blessed us all of these years. It'd be wonderful to see them, wouldn't it? Even bring out Rahab. Even bring out Ruth. Bring out some of the Old Testament people and they would be witnesses to what God is. You know what they would say? They would say, dear Christians, carry on. Carry on with your faith. Put your trust in God. Keep your focus and endure to the end. That's what they would say. Because it is a race. It is a race for me and it is a race for you. And so we must make sure. Run the race by faith. Make sure we run the race with focus. But we must also run the race in fellowship. Because that is absolutely necessary for you to run the race. And for me to run, I need to keep in fellowship with God. You know how easy it is for me to get out of fellowship with God? You know what it is? It's busyness. I got a 3x5 card here. You know, I tried to put in here and write stuff down. I got to do the parking lot. I got to greet someone, send so and so a letter. And I get so busy sometimes, you get to the place where I think, I can't accomplish all these things. And then I have to go back and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because my busyness took me away from having fellowship with you. You know, I'm running this race. And I'm trying the best I can, Lord. I want to run it with you. But I want to stay in fellowship with you, Lord. Please don't let me go. You know, He's a better runner than me. You know, I get weak, but He never does. I get faint, but He'll never faint. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always at my right hand, and He will never leave me, and He will never leave you. Until you see Him, you are in the palm of His hand. And you could take your whole life, you could try to run out of it, and you'll never get out of it because you're there. His hand is bigger than you can ever imagine. It holds all the waters of the world in His hand. You know, it's important for us to know that we have a big God. And this is a big race. And I want to encourage you to continue on and run the race by faith, but by focus, but also in fellowship with God. Can I share with you something else that I think it also in detail help us to run in fellowship with each other? I think I can run better with you and you can run better with me, because guess what? We're in this together. Nice to be able to look over at a buddy running. When I was in the Marine Corps, we used to run, and sometimes I'd run with a guy and I'd say, let's keep going. There was one Jewish man. He'd say, take 3 steps, Dean, and then breathe. Close your mouth, Dean. Breathe through your nose. He was helping me run. You know why? Because I was in fellowship with him. There's two fellows in the same ship. That's what Brother Monroe always. But it's like, I can run the race better if I'm in fellowship with God, yes. But I need to be in fellowship with people. I can't just cut people off. What is all that about? I never had been introduced to it until I became a pastor. People just, okay, bye. They're gone. Wait a minute. I gave you my heart. I love you. How does that work? Boy, this race is getting kind of hard. And for them, oh, by God's grace, I hope that they plug in somewhere. and that God helps them and strengthens them and be able to. I'm just trying to help you this morning that God desires for us to run the race by faith, by focus, and in fellowship with Him and with others. The second thing I want you to gain from this is in verse number 2, and that's dealing with the focus. I think it's important for us to understand that we have Christian life is a focused life. And so if we're going to focus on what we should, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginner and the completer of our faith. If I'm going to do that, I can't look at two things. I've got to take my eyes off of the things and look to Jesus. Now, I think sometimes we forget that a double-minded person will keep his eyes on two things. My eyes don't do it, but I've seen some guys' eyes that can go two different ways. I can't do that. I look cross-eyed, I can't see very focused. You know, if I'm looking right now, I can't look at the car in the parking lot. So if I'm running a race and I'm looking at the car in the parking lot, kind of looking over here, it just ain't going to work, right? And the older I get, the more unbalanced I get. I think we have so many unbalanced believers because we're trying to look at the world, the things of the world, and then we're looking at Jesus at the same time. And I think that when we're talking about looking unto Jesus, we're talking about looking at Him high and lifted up. And so focused on Jesus that we're going to hit our target every single time. Some of you are really good with weapons. Some are real good with deer hunting rifles. And, you know, we try to get ready for deer hunting and we'll bring out, you know, the guns and shoot them and get ready. And there's one thing I know is that when I'm shooting, even in the Marine Corps, we'd shot up to 500 yards. We'd have to let all the air out of our lungs and squeeze the trigger. Aiming. It took a lot to do it. To be precise, focused. And then we see the flag down at the end, you know, they show like a silhouette of a black silhouette, you know, of a white paper of a person. And then they show a little white thing and it shows where it hit. You know, I think, wow, that's pretty good. I think it's important for us to stay focused on the Lord so that we can hit what God wants us to hit. Not just for Him, but for us. So that our lives could be rich and strong and spiritually prosperous. It's interesting, as we're looking away from something, one of the commentaries said this, for the idea is in the verb is of looking away from one thing to the other thing. We must always have some object before the eyes of our mind. And very often it is an object that will cause the natural discomposure, doubt in practice. Looking around your companions professedly in the path of faith, you may feel that they are doing anything but live the life of faith. And so my desire is for you to not even respond as a backslider, but to be someone who is having a fresh, consistent look on Jesus Christ. So what we look to, someone wrote this concerning it, what a greater matter is to have an object so satisfactory, so inspiring, on which our eyes may rest, on which our thoughts may dwell. But we must look at the object in a certain way. As we have looked for faith in Abraham, in Moses, in prophets, in the prophets and found it, so we must look to the faith of Jesus Christ. And so looking beyond these to the ultimate witness. And the ultimate witness is Jesus Christ. How He endured the cross and how He desires for us to endure what is set before us. Look at verse number 2. looking unto Jesus, the very author and the finisher of our faith. Now I want to encourage you that as we look at this particular verse and understand this truth, that we need to look away from something, to look to something, that the best thing we can do is deny ourselves. And until you deny self, you're not going to be able to have the Christian walk that God desires for you to have. What do I mean by denying self? You see, I think that you need to have self-confrontation. It'll give you less confrontation with everybody else. If God has convicted you about something, you deal with it. Take it to the Lord. Deal with it with Him. How many sometimes feel like you're in confrontation with people? Raise your hand if you feel that way at times. I have trouble with that sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not always a happy day, right? You know. But I really believe that there'll be less confrontations if we would be in confrontation with ourselves, because it's not all about us. Just to say, yes, Lord, yes, have your will and have your way. Then you move on. Verse number 3. I just wrote don't quit on this one. You know, some of you need to go home really literally or take it on your computer and blot out the word quit, you know, somehow. I find so many people today quitting. You know, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to go on visitation. I used to tithe. Used to. You know? You should get like a shirt that says used to. I'm the used to team. You know? Used to. You know what? I think God is interested. He's interested for us to continue on and never quit, no matter how difficult the opposition is. No matter how hard things get, God desires for us to continue on. I don't care how bad your relationships are. I don't care how bad your financial dilemma is. I don't care how bad your relationships are. You can still follow Jesus Christ. And you can still continue to walk with Him. Now, it might not be as easy, but look what it says in verse number 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction or opposition of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So wearied, underline that. And faint in your minds? Wearied? And faint? It kind of go. The word faint is the same word for quit. In your minds. And by the way you think creates how you feel. And how you feel creates the action. And so you've got to keep your minds on the Lord. And what Paul is writing here, I believe it's Paul. He's writing this in Hebrews. He's saying, listen, we've got to look at these witnesses that came before us and how strong they were and what they'd endured, and they still continued on. And then we need to look to Jesus, the ultimate witness, and keep our eyes upon Him. Otherwise, we're going to get weary in our minds. And we're going to faint. We're going to quit. And we'll all be used to it. We could actually go home and just close the door and call it Used to Baptist Church, right? Why not? No, God wants us to continue on. Because you know what? There's a generation coming. And by the way, you know what this edition is all about? It's about Eva. It's about David. It's about Caden. It's about Manuel. It's about the next generation. That's what the edition is about. Because you know what? Grace Baptist Church needs to endure. It needs to continue on. I get the blessing of Tuesday morning, a week from Tuesday, Brother Brian's going to take me down to the airport. And I'm going to go. They asked me to come over and be part of this huge celebration with Pastor Ott. 40 years in the mission field. He's 80 years old this year. And there was some trouble when they first went to India. You know, they were with a huge organization and they left that. And Pastor Dow decided that he was going to take him on and we'll just work it out through here, and the finances for Brother Ott would come through the Grace Baptist Church, and Bev Freitag has just taken care of this willingly for all of these years. But that man has endured. Yeah. By faith, Dwayne Ott. Took the Word of God to Singapore. And when he left, the ministry doubled and went to Malaysia. By faith, He built an English school now that has an incredible amount of students. And I get to see it. I take pictures of it, bring it back and show you. But by faith, he's done it. You know why? Because he looked past Moses and Abraham. He looked to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. And you know what? Even though his wife passed away, he continues on. And you know, Brother Ott, and this is public knowledge, it's not like, you know, Brother Ott sometimes goes off on things that I don't even, I just look at him and smile. And blink. Sometimes I don't understand what he's saying, but I completely understand what he's doing. And I understand that one day Duane Ott is going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Sometimes we have to be reminded to look unto Jesus, no matter how difficult it gets, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And no matter how this opposition gets us and we get all twisted in our thinking, remember this, that in the end, Jesus is going to say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Some of you, I thank you so much for being faithful. And you know what's wonderful about being faithful? Being faithful and having the opportunity to be faithful with a good attitude. You ever have someone that's faithful on a bad attitude? I mean, this just not kind of it. Oh, you're so wonderful and faithful, but why don't you just change your attitude? Okay, say, "Well, wonderful, I can be faithful to God with a good attitude." I can be. Because I've laid aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets me. But I can run the race with joy. Can you imagine running a race with a bunch of Marines? "Up in the morning with the rising sun, we're going to run all day till the day is done." Run. He'll go over to some guy. "What's wrong with that guy?" I'll tell you what's wrong with him. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He's got a clear conscience. He knows what God desires of him. And he's going to continue on even when time gets tough. Dear Christian, look to Jesus. Some of you are going through some really difficult things. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your focus on him. And your life will be better. And those around you will enjoy being with you. Maybe you don't know what this means. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You came in this morning perhaps to just listen to a sermon and maybe make you feel a little bit better about coming to church, and that's good. But if you've never been born again, His Spirit has been working on you since you were born. And you can be renewed by His Spirit. You see, God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And His Son said, "Yes, I'll go to the cross." And those big, strong, evil men threw Him down on the cross. But Jesus said, "I'll die." He laid His life down for you so that you could have eternal life. You see, it was done so that you could be saved. Jesus arose the third day and went back to heaven. Boy, did He endure the cross. He endured the beating. He endured the mockery. He endured all of that. And He persevered. Oh, look to Jesus. It's interesting, as we look at Him, we understand that I need Him. There's something wrong in my heart. It's empty. I need Him. And you know what He does? He, by His Spirit, says, "Come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Come, you that are thirsty, and I will give you living water." You'll never find it in YouTube. You'll never find it in all of the silly Hollywood stuff that they're doing. But you'll find a fulfillment in Jesus. He wants to begin today with you. So give Him your heart today. If you need some help, come forward. This is an old-fashioned altar. Maybe God wants to work in you to be saved today. Just say yes and come out. If you're a woman, we'll take you to this room over here with another woman. We'll show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, I'll have a man take you, show you how you can be saved from the Scriptures. How do you get to heaven? We'll show you from the Scriptures. You come. But look to Jesus.
dear Christian, has it been a long time since your tears have come? Has it been a long time since you've had fellowship with Him in this race? He desires to have fellowship with you more than you'll ever know. And maybe it's time for you just to step out this morning and say, "Here I am, Lord. I've been trying to do my own will, and I'm so frustrated. I just lay it at your feet. Help me to do your will and keep my eyes on you." Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. From the young person to the oldest person in this room, I wanted you to hear me this morning. Maybe God is working in you. Let me just ask you a few questions. Keep your eyes closed for a moment and keep your heads bowed. We'll have an invitation. But doing business with God this morning, you'd say, "Pastor Howell, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know for sure. But I'd like for someone to show me how I can make that an absolute in my life." Is there anyone like that who would say, "Pastor, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to know." Is there anyone? Lift up your hand so I can see it. No one looking around. So Christian, this message was written for you. Oh, dear friend, dear brother and sister in Christ, look to Jesus. This altar is ready for you if you need to come. I won't bother you. But God wants to speak to you. And if you need to come, you come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you just stand where you are? No one looking around this morning. Let's have an invitation. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Plenty of time. One more stanza. Is His Spirit speaking to you? You got your eyes off of Him? Eyes only on you. We'll take up the offering first, Brother Daryl. Why don't you make your way up here, Brother Daryl, if you get the guys. You might be seated if you would. We're taking up the end of the month offering. But also, we've got some business to take care of and got some new members coming aboard. So why don't you come? Daryl, if we could get another usher to help out, then you come up here. Aaron, could you usher for me? And Daryl, why don't you come up here and sit with me if you would. We'll have you take care of the business in just a moment. But, you know, what we want to do is we want to build, don't we? Maybe you don't. But I know we need some adjustments here. We got to put in that lift. We want to put in a Spanish-speaking chapel. All of that is in place. We just need to raise some money. And so we're looking at 2020, the end of August of 2020, to break ground. So I want to encourage you to give toward that. We're trying to raise as much as we can. I think we've raised almost $140,000 so far, maybe more than that. And we want God to supply the need. So we're asking Him to. We prayed yesterday that God would supply. And so give if you can today. This will all go toward the building program. And then we'll take care of some business. Brother Tom, could you thank the Lord for His goodness to us? And also pray that He'd bring in the finances for us.